First, I can tell a little bit about myself. My name is Joakim Berggren. I come from Sweden and I live in Stockholm. And I heard about NBC for real, sort of, 2005. Then I studied Marshall Rosenberg. I read his book and I listened to some sound clips on that I found on the internet, and I thought that was a very interesting theory. Hello, welcome. Hello. Take a seat. And sort of nothing more to that. I didn't practice it. I listened sometimes. I read sometimes. Welcome, welcome. And then in 2009, I got a newsletter from the Swedish Association about NBC. And in this newsletter, it said there was a one-year education of NBC was starting. And it was going to be free because we have a system of grown-up schools in Sweden where you can get all kinds of education for free. So I applied, but I'm sort of a procrastinator. So I sent it in the last day, and then I didn't hear anything, and then they said, yeah, well, you have no place on this one. You are on the queue. But I got in, and one of our exercises to the last meeting we had was to prepare a presentation of NBC. And it was up to us if we wanted to give it or not. And I ended up giving it in four different places, and one of these places wanted me to continue as their counselor or whatever. So I needed to start a company. And since then, I have given more than 100 workshops and lectures about NBC. And last year, I certified as a certified NBC trainer by CNBC, the Center of Nonviolent Communication, that was founded by Marshall Rosenberg in the US. And he founded this process of NBC. Welcome. Yeah. Take a seat. You have chairs behind if you can squeeze yourself in. And this presentation is for you. So if you not understand what I say, or if you want to ask questions, do it while I'm talking. And if I get stuck with someone, I try to notice that myself. But you can also say, well, now we want to go on, because we have a little more than an hour. And because NBC is about feelings and needs, I can tell you I feel a little nervous. I'm usually not feeling nervous when I'm doing this kind of stuff. But I think this is very important for me. I've heard about sort of NBC in some integral connections, like on the Daily Evolver and things like that. People have mentioned NBC, and they are always doing it a little not my style. They talk about feelings when they actually talk about thoughts and stuff like that. So I want to give this as a tool, as a philosophy, as do whatever you want with this, but I want to sort of bring you my understanding of what Marshall Rosenberg was trying to teach. So I'm very glad that you are here. So, where to go from now? I call this lecture The Power of Empathy. And if you want to create change in the world, and this is a little of a paradox, if you want to create change in the world, how many of you have the experience meeting someone that has an opposite view of you, and you are trying to convince them, and they had sort of said thank you that you convinced
them?
Very rare. Very rare. Yeah, right.
It's a very developed person.
So that's also why I sort of made this joke that is not really a joke, that there's a common wisdom that you can't change anyone else. The only one you can change is yourself. And when we get all of those judgments up in our heads about other people, that, you know, the world is full of idiots, crazy people, and you talk to people like they are an idiot, they are not really ready to listen to you. But if you can tap into their space, if I can sort of be interested, curious, where are you coming from? Why do you have your beliefs? Why are you in this place? Then it might open up a place in you for listening to me. So in order to make some influence, I sort of need to drop my wish to make an influence. And at the same time, this can be this, you know, this green state when you, it's just so cozy to be in contact. We be in contact, and we hug each other, and we, yeah. And now we are coming to a decision, but what about you? Have your voice been heard here? And so we never sort of come anywhere. So we have requests as one of the four components of NBC. I'm not going to focus so much on that today because we have a short time. But this is a really important thing, to make doable positive action requests so people know what we expect them to do, so they can say yes or no to our request. And so we don't get disappointed when they do something else than we thought we asked them to do. Because we are often not asking positive, doable, clear requests to people. We make wishes, and we hope that people will understand what we want. Right? So one of the main focus of NBC is contact. And I represent that, whoops, as a heart. Contact or connection. Connection might be the most proper English word. And all those four components that I'm going to talk about, observations is the first one. The second one is feelings. The third one is needs. And the fourth one is requests. All of those four components is a support for us to be in connection with other people. And it can sound a little weird when you do it the sort of NBC correct way. When I see that you, blah, 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 I feel, blah, 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 because I need, so could you, blah, blah, blah. So we can sound like a little robot, sort of. But that is not sort of the way we propose that people talk, but it's more like, yeah, German verbs or something like that. We might need them, but we don't sort of say the German verbs to a German when sort of me, you, they, sort of, we go with the flow. So that's the same with those things. To have them installed in the back of your head, when I talk now, am I communicating all of, welcome, take a seat, am I communicating all of those four needs, or all of those four components in any way at all? Or am I sort of talking about my thoughts, my strategies, am I making demands, or undoable requests? One undoable request for my son was, can you clean up your room? Hello, welcome. Can make a little space, and you have a chair in the back. Yep. And he started to cry. He didn't know what to do. But when I said, pick up your clothes, pick up your books, bring the dirty washers out in the kitchen, then he knew what to do. Then it was a doable request. And observation, you can also make interpretations. So all those four are supporting connection. When you do an observation, you don't get so much resistance from people, but when you do an interpretation, you stupid fuck, you just messed up the room. You get a lot of resistance if you say something like that. But if you say, you put your clothes in the middle of the room. Nothing much to resist. Yes, that's an observation. Yes, that's what was I did. Feelings and thoughts. So, I would like you to tell me some feelings.
Anger.
Anger. Give it to me.
Shame.
Relax.
Happy.
Frustration. Bored.
Sadness.
Whoops, this. I can't spell this. Something like that. Yeah. I made this empty and you haven't said anything here. And I'm quite happy about that as well. Because we can also say, I feel rejected. I feel seen. I feel appreciated. And those feelings, those are actually thoughts, because as we define feelings, is something that is happening inside of our bodies. When I feel sad, for me, there's something sort of behind my eyes that is activated, and my body language gets a little not like this, more like this. And when I feel happy, I'm more stretched up, and all these tingling feelings inside of me. And when I say those feelings, I'm sure that it's not the exact processes that is going on inside of you, but quite similar. I think if you sort of would scan our bodies, our brains, sort of the same areas would lit up, but in slightly different places. So the words we put on our feelings is the way we can communicate with each other. But it's not the feelings. The feelings is here. So this is a map. You know, as integralists, we are quite familiar with maps. This is not the reality, it's a map. And a map, we use a map to make reality more handleable, more understandable. It's easier to navigate with a map than if we have the whole territory in front of us. It's the same with our feelings. Something is happening inside of us, and when similar processes is activated, we put a name on that, sadness, joy, boredom, whatever. And we have the similar experience inside of us, so I can, when I say those names, say those feelings, you can hear me, you can understand what I'm feeling. We can get a connection. But when I say my thoughts, if I say to you, for example, I feel sad, Is it hard for you or not to hear that?
Makes me feel good.
Yeah. But do you feel any resistance towards me?
Yeah.
No. But if I say, you make me sad.
Intimidation.
Yeah. So that puts you a little away from connection with me, right? So we want to take responsibility for our feelings. There's no other person that can make you feel anything. Other people can do a lot of stuff that stimulates you. But what you feel is connected to your experience in the past. If someone comes in here and scream, some of you will be afraid, some of you will be angry, some of you will feel amused. And that's because what are our experience in the past? What have I been through in my life? So no one can make you feel a specific feeling. What you feel is connected to your needs. So when your needs are fulfilled, which kind of feelings do you think you feel if you read here?
Relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Or happy.
Yeah.
Joy.
Yeah. And when your needs are not fulfilled, what kind of feelings do you feel? So when we are in communication with other people, one way to show that we take responsibility for ourselves is to connect our feelings to our needs. So right now I'm feeling a little more calm than I used to do in the beginning here. And it's not because of you. You are a stimulus, because when I come in, I was a little late in my, I would have liked to be here a little earlier, and I'm not so used in speaking in English about this topic. I have done it sometimes, but that's not my usual way to do it. I used to do it in Swedish, so I felt a little nervous, and I think that nervousness was connected to my needs of acceptance, my needs of love, also my need of contribution and of meaning, that I would like you to go from this place. And I think I will look into the NVC a little bit more. This seems interesting. And if you do that, the sort of consciousness of needs are spreading in the world, and potentially that will be a world that I want to live in. So that's my sort of mission, my fulfillment, or my need of meaningfulness is very much fueled by doing this kind of work. So these thoughts compared to feelings, like I feel ignored, for example. You are not the person that ignores people, right? You are a compassionate person. So you don't want to take that in. And because this is a map, when we know our feelings, it's easier to find our needs, regardless if they are met or not met. But if we are stuck in our thoughts and are not connected to our feelings, then it's very hard to know what we want, what we need, and to make requests so we might get our needs fulfilled. And some people doesn't have so many feelings. Either they feel good or they feel bad. So when you have this map, it's like to have a globe or a map of Hungary. And someone didn't find this place, so I think this map is more accurate to use if you want to find Provence than to have the map of Hungary or even the map of Siofok. So to have a vocabulary of many different kind of feelings words, not just I feel happy and now I'm not so, I can't say much more feeling words in Swedish, but to sort of, you know, from pleased to joyful to happy to very happy and whatever. There's sort of a scale in different kinds of feelings, and if you can put names on this scale, it's much, much easier to find your needs. So if you think that you are ignored, and that's, you think that that's your feeling, it's very hard to find your needs. Because imagine that you are going to give a report to your boss, and you come to work, and your kids have been sick, you haven't been able to write this report. And you sit by your desk, and your boss is coming towards you. And he just passes you, doesn't say a word. And he does that several times. And you go home in the evening and you finish your report. And you come next day with a report. So you could say that your boss was ignoring you, right? But that thought would give you feelings of relief or something like that. So to connect with your feelings gives a much more accurate description of where you are than if you are caught in your thoughts. And thoughts, this is what other people or yourself are doing towards you. If I say I feel ignored, well, there's someone else who is doing or not doing something towards me. I feel appreciated. There's someone else who does something towards me. I feel humiliated. There's someone else who does something to me. Yes?
How can we name? Indeed, so you say that if you say this judgment, I'm feeling humiliated.
Yeah.
What is the feeling that I should name?
Yeah, exactly. So when this thought comes up in you and you sort of recognize, oh, wow, this is not a feeling, it's a thought, you can sort of take contact with you, yourself, or go to a friend that are a little skilled in listening. Doesn't need to be an NVC-er, just someone who can give you some attention. And you can sort of, how does that feel? I feel, what did you say? Humiliated.
Humiliated.
Yeah. For some of you, in some circumstances, you would be full of rage, this humiliation. For some of you, it would be sadness or despair. It could be many different feelings behind this. So the thought I'm feeling humiliated doesn't tell anything about your state of being. And when you know your state of being, you can connect them to your needs. And now I'm a little confused. Did we end 15:05? Yep, thank you. Another thing about thoughts and feelings. Are you familiar with people like maybe on your workplace that can sort of stand like this? It's nothing. Do you believe them?
No.
No, we don't believe them. So if you have a strong feeling, or maybe not such a strong feeling, it's very supportive for other people that your mouth are speaking the same feelings as your body is communicating. Because when we can't hide our feelings, we can't hide what is happening inside of us. We are sort of interpretation machines. We see everything. Even if we are not aware, we see the slightest little blink and twitches, someone smile with their mouth, but their eyes are not smiling. We see everything of this, but maybe we are not aware of it, but sometimes we sort of, ooh, this is a strange situation, sort of. We have this uncomfort in us. And I think that is when people are feeling stuff, they are not communicating. They're communicating something else. So if we want to help ourselves and others and create a little bit of relief, communicate with your mouth the same thing that your body is communicating. And I think we do this, or we don't do this. We try to sort of protect both ourselves and the others by sort of, oh, I'm feeling slightly annoyed right now, and I'm at, for example, in my workplace, and I don't want to show my boss or my colleagues that I'm feeling annoyed because I don't want to blame them, sort of. So we try to hide our feelings from people around us. The thing is that people are getting confused instead. And if we know that it's not other people's fault that we have those feelings, if we can take responsibility by connecting them to our needs, then it's much easier to communicate. If I have the thought that it's your fault that I feel irritated, then it's quite... Yeah, it can be, for some people, it can be tricky to communicate that. So I have talked about needs. There are sort of four principles. Åtaganden, I don't know if someone can.
Groups.
Basic.
Concepts. Something. Four of something.
Let's see what it is.
Number one. All people share the same needs.
Principles, yeah.
Yeah. So needs are abstract, fluffy, not tangible. Some needs, the sort of basic survival needs, you can say are a little more tangible than other needs, like water. You need some kind of liquid to survive. You need air to survive. You need some kind of energy into your system to survive. So those are very sort of basic needs. If you don't get those needs fulfilled between a couple of minutes and some weeks or months when it comes to nutrition, you will die, sort of. But there are other needs, like the need to belong, the need to
of
touch,
space,
need of acceptance, need of meaningfulness, need of love, care, empathy. And we all share the same needs. And sometimes you see people like, I think this person seems to be very needy around this area. And another person seems like, well, this person, yeah, like this, talking about needs. Thank you for reminding me. So we know that we are different according to our genes and how we are brought up. So some people sort of experience a lack of a specific need that is sort of, I have a need to appreciate. Do you like me? Do you like me? Do you like me?
I don't know.
Please, do you like me?
Maybe.
Yeah, thank you. And for some people, it's like a black hole. You sort of, it's never enough. And another person seems to go through life like, this person doesn't seem to be liked by anyone. He sort of seems to be happy anyway. But I think they are sort of fulfilling their needs with different kind of strategies. And we still have the same needs. But we don't have the same strategies to fulfilling those needs. So needs, like I said, they are abstract. They are not connected to person, to things, to time, except for maybe air. That can be very tricky if you get air in 1 hour and not now. Situations.
What do you mean by not? It's not connected to person.
Yeah, I don't have a need that you shall like me. I have a need of being liked, being in connection with another person, but I don't have a need for a specific person. Because all people share the same needs. It would be very tricky for this person.
If we are speaking of adults, no? Because a child needs the attention of her mother, of his or her mother.
No.
It cannot, no?
No. There are many fulfilled, happy people that have been brought up without their biological mother. Mm-hmm. But they need some connection to some person, but not a specific person. And this can sound a little cold, sort of, but that's not the thing. This is theory. Then in reality, we are always connected to specific people, right? Mm-hmm. So I could say that, yeah, my girlfriend is my favorite strategy to experience love. But there are tons of other people on the planet. Right? So that can sort of sound a little materialistic. But at the same time, if you confuse this, this is sort of like a key differentiation to know how to divide those things. If I think that it's my girlfriend that is my source, my of the need of love, right? And suddenly she gets interested in someone else. My need is disappearing from me. What can happen if I think that? You know what can happen when people are jealous and indifferent. Violence, death, whatever. If I know that it's a strategy, my need doesn't disappear from my life. Did you have a question?
Actually, I'm wondering about the result of systemic constellation. It says that we have specific needs towards the original family, and it cannot be fulfilled by anybody else. And it has to be represented, and you have to identify that person with that very person, so that it gets the result, what you really need.
Yep.
It cannot be anybody else. It has to be named your father, your whatever relation.
Yeah.
So this seems to contradict this.
Yep. And this is a specific, this is how needs are, English sometimes.
So I can
help me with the word defined in NBC. And I can also very well see that if I have had a broken relationship with someone when I grew up, I tend to carry that with me if I'm not able to sort of repair it in a very deep way. And even if I do that, if it's very severe, it can be very hard to do that. So we are not the territory. We are the territory. This is the map, so to speak. So. And I'm also sort of, I don't need you to agree with what I say. I'm not addicted to that as well. So. So when we talk about needs and people are talking about things like this, we know that they are talking about strategies. I need you to blah, blah, blah. Actually, they don't need me. They want me to. And I might be their favorite strategy to fulfill their need of help or whatever they want me to do. But to be able to do this, it's quite a big relief in our connections, in our dealings with other people. So the other one here, what we feel is connected to if our needs are fulfilled or not. And everything people do is trying to fulfill their needs. And this can be quite a relief to sort of, when you look around in the world or in your family or in your workplace or among your friends, and you see people doing crazy stuff, and you sort of, how is this possible? How can people do like this? They seem to be from another planet, right? It's crazy. And if you are, everything people do is trying to fulfill needs. And if you have that concept in mind, when you see a person that has done this crazy thing, you don't see an idiot. You see a person who is trying to fulfill their needs. And you might want to communicate with this person, because this way this person do to try to fulfill their need might be very costly. It might threaten the needs of other people or the needs of the global system, the environment, or whatever. So this is not like, okay, they're trying to fulfill needs, okay, relax, sit back and enjoy the show. It's not like that. It's sort of, their actions I can make an observation of their actions, and their actions are affecting me, right? Awaking some feelings inside of me. And when I feel stuff, I know it's connected to my needs. And if I feel feelings I'm not enjoying, I know that there are needs that are not fulfilled. And if I want those needs to be fulfilled, I might need to make a request to myself or towards others. And requests, I make requests to have a connection with people. I don't have a request like this. This is what I want, and you can't say no. Then it's no request. Then it's a demand. What do people do when they hear demands?
They have different strategies to fulfill demands.
Yeah.
But normally,
attack back.
Yeah. They might rebel. But that's not the most common thing with what people do when they hear demands.
Aggression, some kind of aggression.
Yeah, that's also sort of a rebellion.
Or they just say no.
Exact. They do what they are told. Because they see what happens to people who are refusing to do this. So, you know, there are some people, some children, their need of autonomy is so strong that they rather take the hit if they can do what they want to do.
Some adults also.
Some adults as well, yeah. So it doesn't seem like punishment is a good strategy in solving problems, because some people will do this anyway, even if they get punishments. And if I bring in a little integral theory in this as well, a person with the center of gravity in red, how much does this person think about tomorrow? Not so much. It's gratification right now. So when you have a prison system or a legal system that, if we make this crime, if we make a longer sentence in prison for this crime, people will avoid doing this crime. It's a very good theory, but it doesn't work. Because it's now I want respect. It's now I want to do things. I don't think about tomorrow. It's my gang or whatever. So if we sort of, and we can also make a little more integral in this, we can make a division here. So your feelings and needs, can you sort of observe them? And not so easy, right? That's the inside of us. But observation, things people say, things people do, easy to observe. You can have a video camera that record this, and everyone who are there can see, well, this is what happened, this is what was said. And requests, you put them out. It's a quote that you can also record. So you can say that this is the outside of NVC, and this is the inside of NVC. And I can also make another, because sometimes when you come into NVC and you get very enthusiastic, and well, it's just about connection, right? The people, if everyone knew NVC, the world will be a happy place, right? And we know about this perspective taking, right? The first person perspective, the second, the third. So I think that empathy, guessing feelings and needs of other people, it sort of works with everyone. Everyone benefits by sort of being seen what's important for them. But if you want something back, do you want to listen to my needs and my feelings? then I think, okay, a person with the red center of gravity, that's not in their interest or their ability to do that. And when it comes to a blue person, well, someone from my in-group I can listen to, but I won't listen to those Muslims or whatever, because they are not real people, right? So it's also a development and evolution in this, I see, that when we can take a third-person perspective, then, you know, between orange and green, it's mainly sort of green people that are interested in MVC, sort of. I have seldom met, so I've heard one person from our right-wing party in Sweden, the Swedish Democrats, that came to one of the workshops. Otherwise, hello, welcome. It's people like they are interested in their inner, what is happening inside of me. I want to sort of, there's something more than my work. I want to contribute to the world, to other people, to the planet, to animals, or whatever. So it's those people that tends to come into NBC. And you know, people in the green, with the center of gravity in green, their view is the right view, right? As well as people with orange or blue or whatever. My view is the right view. And I'm sensitive, and I want to listen and be in contact. And I have this need of acceptance and mutuality. And if you don't like mutuality, go fuck yourself. So much for that mutuality, right? So, but with this map, I think we can tap into that. We can understand what people are coming from, what they want to do. We can choose to listen to people. I think Marshall Rosenberg, he has done a very... He went to, I don't know where, somewhere in Africa, there was a Muslim tribe and a Christian tribe, and this society was maybe 1,000 persons, and 1/4 of the population has been killed in this sort of war. And I think they were quite red and blue, but they managed to get this. And he was there with 12 leaders from each part of this side. And now this was a couple of years since I read this, but in this story, the killing stopped when they heard each other's needs, that they wanted safety, they wanted to be seen, they wanted autonomy, they wanted to be recognized. And before that, they only had this thing with whatever they were fighting with and killing each other. So there were even people sitting in there that has killed one of the other's sons, and they were able to listen to each other and to come to a conclusion. The fourth one. Is people, when people doesn't hear demands, when people have their free will, people love to contribute. That's one of our strongest needs, to see that our actions can make other people joyful, happy, whatever. I don't know your traditions, but in Sweden, when someone is moving from one apartment to another, they bring all their friends together, and they move, and then they eat pizza and drink some beer, and I have never heard about something like, oh, how much money do you want to help me move? That's not in the game. Because you want to contribute. This is my friend. I don't want to sort of... is it tit for tat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's not the game you do with friends. You want to... And to spread that, to sort of have this in mind, I want to create... Conflict never... Here is... There's never conflicts here. There are never conflicts here on the need level. I can imagine some imaginary situation. You are on a boat on the ocean and you have 1 liter of water and there are 20 people. Then maybe the conflict is on needs level, but otherwise it's on strategy level. So Marshall was doing this couple therapy very much, and the couple with the longest conflict, they have been married for 39 years, and this conflict started 3 months into their relationship. And he said, I bet that you will resolve your conflict 20 minutes from the time you can hear each other's needs. And the woman said, I know his needs, this is impossible, sort of. And then they started. So it didn't take 20 minutes from that, because it took a couple of hours before they could hear each other's needs. But when they heard each other's needs, then they resolved the conflict within 20 minutes. So when we can hear each other on the need level, and when we're not stuck here on the strategy level, then we will find solutions, because then we have this connection. We will find solutions, we will make requests that make things happen. And that's sort of also the danger of one of the pitfalls with green, as I see. This is so cozy. It's so nice to be here, so we don't get here. You know? Because when we are here and we go here, we might get a no, and we don't want that. So we lean into each other and have a cozy time, and things don't happen. So to be aware of this is, you can see it as a model to bring green people into the second tier as well. So I see many sort of connections between NVC and integral theory. So I really like that.
I want to make a little contribution.
Yes.
So to get to, from needs to requests,
yep.
You have to be authentic.
Yeah.
You have to be what?
Authentic. Okay. Yeah. This is... I don't have the place. I can... You can say that this model rests on two legs, and I don't write them here. I write them here. So one leg is empathy. And the other is honesty. And the way I thought about honesty, it was honesty with my thoughts. I say that you are an idiot. I'm just honest. I've heard that that's a good thing to be, so take it or leave it, but yeah, that is what I think about you, sort of. And that's not the honesty we talk about. That's not... I'm not sårbar.
Vulnerable,
thank you. I'm not vulnerable when I express my thoughts. But when I express my feelings and my needs, I show myself. And that's quite scary sometimes. So to show ourselves, to be vulnerable, to be authentic, and then go here, that can be quite powerful. But I like also what Marshall said. If you are honest in a punishing culture, you must be mad. And I don't know if you're familiar with Brené Brown.
Yes.
Yeah. She also said something similar, that don't sort of just spread your vulnerability around, because you want to be received with your vulnerability. You don't want to pour out your heart and then someone stand there spit at you, sort of. And now I remember, and we have time, I wanted you to do a little exercise as well. And you have a question.
I'm working with an organization now, and through they say there is a lot of hidden conflict,
yep,
things that have not been said, and that it's not safe to express their feelings.
Yeah.
So if that's in a culture, how do you get started? And they have some commitment to do something about it.
Yep.
They would like to have connection, but how do you come to that point that they accept safety? Because
yeah,
they can say, even if you do a circle and all of the methodology, they can still say, oh, it's not,
yeah,
safe, but that's fine.
So I could go into an organization like this, and I can have this in my mind. I know that there is a lot of feelings going on. But if saying your feelings get people like this, then it's not creating connection. So that would not be my strategy, to talk about feelings. But people can quite well connect to needs. Ah, my need of cooperation in a company, for example. My need of respect. People could quite easily sort of connect to that. So I would talk about needs.
So you don't need to go round,
no,
each time, because,
no,
that's kind of the way, like,
yeah,
yeah, you can go straight to feeling, to needs.
One thing, when I was assistant on a one-year program in NBC, and we were going to start, and people weren't here. So I went to the door, and I... And when they came in, I just expressed all the four components by blowing like this. My observations, time is blah, 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 we should have started. My feelings, I'm feeling a little annoyed, I'm a little eager to start. My need is for contribution, meaning, so request, get your ass here. So you don't need to sort of sound like a robot, but to install this sort of like a reference. When I talk now, am I in contact with all of those? And sometimes it's very good to speak all of those, but sometimes not.
But I think in many cultures they use singing to express the feelings. They don't speak so much about that, but they handle it quite well by singing.
Yeah.
And there are lots of Kurdish songs, they start very sad and melancholic and painful, and then they turn to joy. It's also very interesting to handle with emotions, I think.
Yeah.
Expressing by singing.
So now I want you to do two exercises. So please stand up and find someone you haven't talked to during this whole conference. And when you have found someone, sit down.
Thank you.
Use your key. The key, maybe. I don't know. And before we start the exercise,
this one?
Yes. Sit half a minute or something, or 1 minute, and think about something you're really passionate about. Do you have someone?
Some topic?
No.
Yeah, right. No, I don't. I want to say that. I'm actually okay.
You're actually okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the next presenter, so I'll maybe just take a moment to get my stuff.
Yeah. So this first exercise might be a little painful, depending how robust you are. So you decide who's going to start to tell about your passion. And the one who is listening, your task is to be quite skeptical, maybe questioning, maybe you come to think about something that happened in your life. When you think about that, you might be bored, look out the window. Yeah, sort of don't pay so much attention to the one who's talking. Okay, so do that for 2 minutes now. Okay, switch. Yes, yes, switch, switch. Okay, thank you. what did you say? John? Yeah, but it's 5 minutes left. So he will start. So your attention, please. If you want to, you can shake yourself, shake off this a little bit. And now you're next, you will tell about your passion again, but the one who's listening is going to listen to you with his or her own whole being and show interest, compassion, and be there for the other one. All right? And then I give you something else in the end. Okay?
The same topic or something else?
You can choose, but preferably the same topic. Okay, thank you. And before you switch, attention please. Hello, hello.
Thank you.
So, the one who has been listening, if you want to, you can ask the other one, when I have heard you, I guess you are feeling, and put in a feeling, and I guess your need of meaning, creativity, whatever is fulfilled. You can try that out for half a minute. And then, in half a minute, you will switch. You understand?
Well expressed.
Yeah. So when you're done, you can switch partner again. Not switch partner. The other one can start to tell about your passion.
My passion for me has been a great honor to be able to be myself and to express myself beyond my experience and beyond my condition. So now I take this to all the persons and I allow the passion for us from humans that we have been together.
This will come to everyone.
We can transform. So I take this teachers, my kids, and my daughter makes it super fun. So we always are just playing and playing and playing. So we realize, oh,
So please come to an end, and you can do the same as the other one. You can guess a feeling and a need. So, and please join the circle. We're gonna have hero writing quite soon, so please join the circle. So say thank you and join the circle. And time is up, so I'm happy to hear something after next workshop. And I just, if there are a couple of people that just want to say one or two words, I'm happy to hear them now.
Thank you.
This is great.
Yeah, thank you. And if you want to come and talk to me, please do that afterwards. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.